Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm
the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a baby sham.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
How are we doing? Are we all right?
Yeah. All good. It's a bit cold, isn't it?
It is very cold, isn't it?
It must be cold for me to say it's cold.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
If other Mark said it, you'd just, not other Mark, Mark.
Me.
Yeah, you.
Me.
Yeah, if you said it, you'd be like, nah, no problem.
Shall I turn the heating off because it's going to interrupt us?
Yeah, turn it off.
By all means.
Oh, I'm going to be cold.
Sally, turn the heating off, please.
Bring some beer.
Cheers.
Thanks, Sally.
Boys, I need your help with something.
Oh, yeah.
I heard a joke the other day.
All right.
And
do you want to know if it's funny or not?
Well,
is that what you're going to ask us?
Well, no, I don't understand it.
Oh.
Well, I'm your man.
I don't.
Is that the punchline?
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm normally quite good at stuff like this. I am normally quite good at understanding jokes and getting jokes and stuff. But I've been wrapping my head around this and I just can't.
Yeah.
Okay. I just can't. So, can I tell it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting for.
All right, okay. So, there's a guy in Inverness that makes bricks.
Right.
Okay. Yep. And a guy down in Brighton decides he wants to order 1,000 red bricks. So, he orders them from the guy, he makes them, puts them on the back of his lorry, and drives all the way down to Brighton. So, you know, quite a long drive, you know, finally gets there, pulls up. He's offloading the bricks, and there's 999 red bricks and one blue brick. He's no idea how this happened, you know.
Okay.
He's no idea. But the guy in Brighton says, well, I ordered 1,000 red bricks. He's like, yeah, but can't you just paint it? You know, I'll knock you a bit of money off or whatever. And he's like, no, I ordered 1,000 red bricks. I was like, well, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to take that blue brick back to Inverness and bring me back a red brick. I'm like, can I not just post it? No, I've paid for delivery and I've paid for 1,000 red bricks. Right, fine. He understands it's his mistake or whatever. So he gets in the van, puts this blue brick next to him and steps off driving back to Inverness. He's fuming. He knows it's his own mistake, but he just doesn't understand why this guy just couldn't work with him a little bit. And he's absolutely fuming. And the more he's driving, the more he's looking at this blue brick and the more he's getting annoyed at it. So he gets to a point where he picks it up, throws it out of his window, and it lands in back of his van, back of his lorry. So he's driving along, still absolutely fuming, and he can hear this brick rattling around in back of his lorry. And every time he can hear it, and every time he can, you know, he's getting more and more mad. So he's had enough. He pulls up, he gets out, goes to the back of his lorry, picks up this blue brick, and throws it. And it goes over a hedge, over a field, over a train track, lands on a field, rolls, and lands in a rabbit hole.
He's got good eyesight, hasn't he? Then what?
That's it.
So over to Rob.
That's it. That was the joke.
So, Rob, go on. Are you going to tell us? Because you said I'm your man.
Yeah, well, clearly, I'm not the man.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't get it either.
Well, I'm glad you've said that.
I don't get it.
Because it makes it seeming really stupid.
Do you get it, Mark?
No. I'm still trying to think how he managed to see the brick go all that way and then into a rabbit hole.
Surely the joke must be something to do with the blue brick and the rabbit hole. I don't know.
The person that told it me thought it was highly amusing. And when I said, I don't understand it.
Did he say Google it or something?
He was like, well, that's your problem, and walked off.
Maybe that is the joke, that there is no punchline. Maybe that's the... I don't know.
Would that make it a joke?
Well, to him, because you said to him, I don't get it, and he went, well, that's your problem, as in, well, there is no punch. I don't know. Surely, I don't get it.
Well, I thought one of you were going to be able to, you know, put me on the misery, but at least I don't feel as stupid now if none of us get it.
Is any of our listeners, some of our listeners might be rolling around going, that is the funniest joke ever. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It might be.
Absolutely, I love jokes. I did, but my problem is mainly with jokes is I can't remember them.
Yeah,
I can't remember. I struggle, but I've got a handful that just stick with you over the years. Like one,
right?
This is one of my favourite jokes.
Okay,
I've got to try and remember it now. I'm never good at I'm never good at remembering things off the top of my head. Am I?
Yeah, have a look at your phone. Say it, Rob. Say it.
So little Tommy.
He goes little to school.
Little Tommy goes to school one day, and the teacher says, "Right then, class. Today, I want you to give me a sentence with the word contagious in it." And little Tommy, well, first little boy puts his hand up. Andrew, and says, "My dad's got the flu, and my mummy says it can be very contagious." And the teacher goes, "Yes, well done, Andrew. That's very good." Little girl puts her hand up, Sally, and says, "My mum says that laughter can be very contagious." "Yes, absolutely, it is." A little Daffod, Welsh boy, puts his hand up, and he says, "My dad's painting the garage, and my mum says he'll take that contagious." Are you okay with that one, Mark?
I was waiting for little Tommy.
I know. You started off by saying little Tommy.
Is that a joke?
That's what I thought. No. Oh, where's Tommy coming in then?
Do you know what?
Is he doing a riddle here or what?
He should always have been Daffod because he's Welsh.
Tommy can't be from Wales.
I think Tommy was meant
to be one of the other English kids that said a joke.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, Rob.
But I do, as you can tell, I don't tell it very often. But I do love jokes.
Yeah, I've got a joke for you if you think about jokes. Yeah.
You've got a joke?
Yeah, I know. It's a joke. So, okay. So there's this man, he's gone to, obviously to a football match, and he's noticed there's another guy next to him, but there's a seat empty next to this guy.
All right.
So he says to this guy, is this yours or is it spent? He says, "Oh yeah, I bought two tickets for me and my wife." So he says, "Oh well, you know, is your wife? Oh, she, you know, no." And he said, "She's not there."
Oh,
yeah. So this guy says, "Well, you know, couldn't you have brought like one of your friends?" And he says, "Well, no, they're all at the funeral, and my wife's funeral." Do you not get that, Monk?
Yeah.
It's my style of telling jokes,
isn't
it?
Woke.
Yeah.
Woke? Is that what you said?
I've got my favourite joke of it's like a cracker joke. Everyone knows it, but I don't know why. It makes me laugh, and it's one of the jokes that my mum love. What do you call a boomerang that'll come back? A stick. I love that one. He's so childish, but brilliant.
Shall I try another joke with you?
Oh, go on.
This is a bit more lengthy. Right, so there's five surgeons, right? And they're talking about who's the best patient to operate on. So the first surgeon says, accountants are the best to operate on because when you open them up, everything inside is numbered. So the second surgeon says, nah, librarians are the best because everything inside them is in alphabetical order. So the third surgeon responds, try electricians. Everything inside them is colour-coded. So the fourth surgeon interjects and says, I prefer lawyers. They're heartless, spineless, gutless, and their heads and butts are interchangeable. To which the fifth surgeon says, who's been listening patiently to all these surgeons, says, I like engineers. They always understand when you have a few parts left over at the end. Yeah, and you can probably relate to that, can't you,
yeah,
Bob?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
What about you, Kirk? Mark?
I like how you're putting your glasses up and down. You're like Ronnie Corbett.
Well, I am a bit like, yeah.
Yeah, Ronnie Corbett crossed with Harry Hill.
Thank you. Corbett. I'll take that as a compliment.
Do you have any jokes, Mark?
No.
No.
Move on now to Kirk.
Yeah.
Have you? Do you know what?
Have you told it? You've already told it.
Well, go say. I've set off with my joke, and obviously it's not funny. So
do you like comedy?
I love comedy.
I love comedy. It's a great way of just if you're ever in a headspace that's just meh, or you're just a bit, you could just put a stand-up comedian on, or you could put a TV program on comedy TV program. And it just takes you away, doesn't it?
I've got to be in mood for certain types of comedy, though.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many, obviously, different types of comedy. And, you know, I like most of them. I like most, you know, different types. But I think you've got to be in the right mood.
When you say for something like slapstick or...
Yeah, exactly. So, like, for instance, I'm not a huge fan of slapstick comedy. Right. Like I'm not a big fan of like you know pranks and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I love pranks. No,
see, I really don't.
Yeah, I don't.
I love it. They make me feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it does me. Yeah. I feel bad for the people yeah. that it's happening to.
But to its extreme, I love things like Monty Python.
Yeah,
you know, which are very slapstick, silly, very daft. But I think it's because it's cleverly done.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So same as like Lee Evans. Mm. When Lee Evans was on the scene, he was probably my favourite like stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And very daft, very, very slapstick.
Yeah.
But I suppose that also goes back to when I was younger, I used to watch films with my dad and my grandma that were Norman Wisdom.
Mm. Yeah.
And nice. I used to love watching Norman Wisdom. And he was very slapstick. Yeah. And a lot of people compared Lee Evans with Norman Wisdom
yeah.
and stuff
yeah.
like that. But they were really old. Really old. But
some of that comedy is some of the best comedy, I think. The yeah. older stuff.
Oh, I definitely don't think they make comedy now like they used to.
No, definitely not.
You're talking like the Laurel and Hardy
yeah,
stuff.
Well, going as far back as that, yeah. yeah. Laurel and Hardy.
Abbott and Costello.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Buster Keaton, I won't say was stand-up comedy, but his films were comedic, weren't they, in the stunts that they did.
Yeah. There was Harold Lloyd. I used to love him. You know, guy with glasses on. Do you remember him? Harold Lloyd.
No.
I know that's I'm sounding old, but at that same time as Laurel and Hardy and stuff.
Charlie Chaplin.
I've heard of him. Is that what you're asking?
No. He used to go drinking with him.
Yeah, I used to go to school with him. Yeah, George. Me and Charlie were like that.
Is it the same time as
yeah,
Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah, around that time.
Era,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I think with Charlie Chaplin being around, Harold, I forgot his surname.
Shipman.
Oh, yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
what did I say? Harold Lloyd, that way. He sort of, like, he took his limelight a little bit because he was the bigger star type thing. Mm. So, but he were great, yeah. But he were around about the same time.
One of my favourite comedy sketches was from around that time, which was an Abbott and Costello sketch.
Mm. Right.
And that's a sketch called Who's on First Base?
I've never seen that.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh, Rob, honestly.
I've probably seen it. I can't remember the
genius.
Name of it. Go on.
What
happens in it?
I remember absolutely, but it's really hard to explain.
Is it one I need to go and watch on YouTube?
You absolutely need to go and watch it on YouTube.
I'll watch it on YouTube.
Absolutely. Who's on first base? Have you seen the film Rain Man?
Yes.
And obviously, he's like autistic, isn't he, or whatever.
Asperger's or whatever. Like that, yeah.
And if you notice, he's always going, who's on first base, who's on first base, who's on first base.
Oh,
yes. It's from the Abbott and Costello sketch,
okay.
Who's on first
okay.
base.
Right.
Abbott and Costello, I think their films used to be half animated, didn't they? Or they used to do animated stuff as well.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember watching stuff when I was younger.
Yeah, I think they did. I think yeah. you're right.
Wow,
there.
that were a long, like, it's old, that, isn't it, for animation?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, I think that they're hilarious.
And then coming like from that, obviously, you're more 70s and 80s. There's always one. I always want to call him Bernard Matthews, but it's not Bernard Manning.
Bernard Manning. Yeah.
That's Frosty the Tiger. Frosty the Tiger. What do you call him?
Tony
the Tiger.
Bernard Manning. I remember when I worked at Abbey National. Santander is it? I were part of the sports and social committee, and I remember organising a trip to it because he had a club in Manchester, didn't he?
Yes.
Empire Club, I think it was called.
I can't remember what it was called.
But he had a club in Manchester on the outskirts of it, and we organised a trip there, so we saw him live. And he were great, and he obviously were famed for taking, you know, if you got up, he were on to you all the time and stuff.
But
I can't remember any of his gags because he was obviously quite controversial, weren't they?
Very.
Well, in latter years, anyway.
I remember Carolina Hearn getting him onto Mrs. Merton.
Yeah. Oh,
And making a show of him.
Really?
Yeah. Because he were racist, sexist, and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
He put it down to, look, I'm just making fun of people, and I make fun of anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
She said, no, well, a lot of your jokes are aimed at, and she made a fool of him on telly.
Mm, really? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I think the greatest comedy ever was written a while ago. I'm now thinking to myself what decade it was written in, and I can't actually remember, but I'm sure you'll tell me. But obviously it's older comedy, and I to this day I don't think there's a more genius comedy series ever written, ever, and that's Blackadder.
Yeah.
Blackadder to me
yeah.
is pure comedy genius.
So I'm going to be really honest and say that I have seen some of Blackadder, but I haven't seen it all. But of what I've seen, yeah, it is very, very funny.
I would agree with you on that. I think when it sort of goes, Blackadder goes fourth and that, it's still good, but it's not as... I think Blackadder, I think they did three series of the, as in one, two and three, didn't they? Then it went into the army stuff.
It goes fourth.
But at the earlier stuff, I didn't enjoy it as when it went, like I said, when it went into the older stuff. I liked it all from start to finish,
and I just think the way that the characters are portrayed and written, and the script and the timing, and I think you'd be all pushed to find anyone as funny and as comically genius than Rowan Atkinson.
Listen, I completely agree. He used to do stand up as well.
He did. It was a visual stand up. A lot of it.
One of them were called Earful. Or I think he did one called Earful. I think.
Can't remember, but I know that's where his Mr. Bean thing came from, wasn't it? His visual stuff, but he's famous for not laughing into other people's comedy.
Yeah,
apparently you can't make him laugh.
Really?
Yeah. He's very hard to please. Yeah, I think he just operates. His mind just operates on another level. Is that really intelligent?
I remember, I don't know who it was. I watched it. I think it might have been when I worked on cruise ships, and one of the lads, absolutely obsessed by Rowan Atkinson, said, "Have you ever seen his stand up?" And I was like, no.
It must have been early days when he did.
He started off in uni.
Weren't it?
Yeah. Well, you were very young.
I got to know him through Not the 9 o'clock News.
Right.
I don't know if you. Do you remember it, Kirk?
Before,
it were Griff Jones, Mel Smith.
Yeah.
Rowan Atkinson, and what's the girl called? Who was married to Billy Connolly. With blonde hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, so did he do his comedy before then?
I think so. Because you could definitely see he was young. But it was something like that.
That drumming routine. That's just genius, that way. He's playing drums.
Yeah. Do you know how Lee Evans got into comedy?
No.
It was by accident.
Was it?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So he was actually a musician. So his dad was quite a, I don't want to say famous, but he was quite a well-known musician, his dad. And he used to go on the circuit with his dad as a kid. And his dad used to play, obviously, on stage and stuff. And he remembers, while studying the wings, he used to watch a lot of, like, Tommy Cooper and stuff like that, that was on the stage as well. And he used to watch a lot of that. But he was predominantly wanted to be a musician, like his dad. But at every point, he was failing. He couldn't quite get it off the ground. He couldn't quite, And if you read his autobiography, which I very highly suggest, I listen to it as an audiobook, and he reads it as an audiobook. And I've never laughed so hard and cried so much in the same book. Because it's quite heartfelt as well, because at one point, he's on his arse. He's absolutely got nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I won't go into more detail about what made it really sad, but it's well worth a listen or a read. But then he kind of gets down to his last chance, literally his last chance. He's got nothing. He's had his gas cut off at home. He's had his bills cut off. His missus is looking at leaving because he's just got nothing. And he pretty much sneaks off to a talent show. And the talent show is obviously quite big money. Talent shows used to be a lot bigger than what they are now. And he went to this talent show with the idea was that he was going to play music as a musician. And when he got on stage, he was so nervous that things kept going wrong. So like he plugged his guitar into the amp, and then when he turned around, his foot got caught in the wire and it pulled the wire out. So he had to turn around. But then as he started trying to fix these things, he noticed that people started laughing.
They probably thought he was a comedian.
Exactly. Exactly that. So he started to play on it, and he started to play up to it, and ended up doing this whole routine off the cuff, off the back of the air, which is like a bit of a slapstick routine, if you like, visual comedy, and ended up winning. And that was his first check that he won, if you like.
I mean, Can you imagine going in as a drummer, did you say?
A guitarist.
A guitarist and yeah. coming out winning as a comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, that's brilliant, isn't it?
But, but then look at him. I mean, you know, about, I believe, you might correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe he was the first like mainstream comedian to do like arena tours and stuff like that.
I think that is right, yeah.
I went to see him, I think, 2 or 3 times on his arena tours.
Am I right? Has he retired now?
Yeah, he's retired.
And he meant it as well. He literally, I think, did he say it on the Jonathan Ross show or something like that?
I think, about 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, someone said to him, what's next? And he went, that's it, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm done. I've neglected my family for this amount of years. They've supported me, they've this, that, other. I've done everything I want to do. I've achieved everything I want to achieve. It's now time for me to spend some time with family. And that's it. He's done nothing since.
Yeah, no. Credit to him.
Absolutely.
Well, at least he won't be going through loads of suits because he sweats a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? He used to sweat buckets.
He just kept making
towels, didn't he? Yeah.
You're literally dripping.
Yeah.
You know, talking about older ones, it's funny, isn't it, how where you kind of take your influences from comedians and comedies. I remember my granddad, he used to... Joss White was one of his favourites. And this is going to be as bad as the other one that I told. But Joss White used to tell a joke, and my granddad used to say it all the time. I think it was one of his favourite jokes, and it makes me laugh. It's not even that funny. And that's a guy, lunchtime at work, gets his sandwiches out, opens his sandwiches. As he opens it, it's got cheese. And he goes, oh, I hate cheese sandwiches. He says, what have you got? Second bloke says, oh, I've got roast ham. The guy, what have you got? So I've got roast beef. I've got cheese. I don't even like cheese. Throws it over his shoulder. Next day, snap time, opens his snap up. Oh, I've got cheese again. Throws it over his shoulder. This goes on for the next 4 days. Following week, next week, gets to work, opens his sandwiches. He don't even open it. Throws it over his shoulder. And the lads go, hold on a minute. You didn't even open it. He went, I know. I made my own sandwiches. But granddad used to tell that, but when he said it, he said it way better than I did.
Yeah, there's a style.
Always used to make me laugh. But yeah. Old ones at best, aren't they?
They are.
Russ Abbott. You remember Russ Abbott?
I love Russ Abbott, yeah.
Basil and Bond.
Yeah, I don't really remember a lot of his stuff other than he did a pantomime once that I watched. Russ Abbott. I actually went to watch it, and he was the... I don't know what he was, but he was in
compare?
It. Compare? No, it wasn't characters. I don't know what he was, but he was in it, and I always remember him.
I mean, talking about Russ Abbott, I mean, he used to have a Saturday night show, I think, on BBC, pulling in like 18, 19 million viewers, and young people today wouldn't have a clue, you know what I mean? No. Yeah. It's our times change and that, but...
In fact, actually, speaking of our times change, do you remember, you might remember him, Mark, Charlie Williams.
Charlie Williams,
yeah.
From Barnsley. Yeah.
Yes.
He's got a very Yorkshire accent.
There's a
black
clip.
Guy, weren't
he? Let me find this clip. Because what I think this highlights is the difference between comedy back then, comedy now, but also the fact that there is still things in there that now you go, ooh, that's more of a thing now than it was back then. Yeah. But the comedy itself is so innocent. You know what I mean? I've got it on here. Hold on.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, he's got a very distinctive
It's Yorkshire accent.
Yorkshire accent.
So this, my granddad loved this. And I remember this is how my granddad would tell a joke. That's why I think I always resonate with it, because it just sounds like him. I'll play this.
This is true. This male attendant, you know, took all these mental patients out, you know, on a club outing. They went on a club trip, you know. No, it's true, this Blossom, it's true. And they went on this club trip, you know how they do, they have a right good day out, don't they? And then, you know what happens, you know what, don't rub your eyes, love, all that mascara, you'll be darker than me. hold on, this is true. So they got in this boozer halfway back, you know. So he said, you know, attendant said, he says, come here, old flower. He said to the barman, he says, come here. He said, now look, he says, they're a little bit, than us, other road. He says, so no matter what happens, old love, he said, let them have the drinks. If they pay the way, polish, than us, any tin polish lids or out like that, all like that. He said, milk bottle tops. See, jam jar lids. He says, just take it, accept it as legal money. Don't mess about, just take it off them. See, humour them, see what I mean? He said, fair enough, old flower. He said, I'll settle the bill when we finished. He said, right enough, lad. and they'd a right good session. Aye, they were as drunk as monkeys. Well, there was something locked, There were jam jars and all sorts flying all at counter than us. He said he were paying them with that, you know. And that boot polish, all them lids, you know, he kept getting. And he accepted it. Aye. Closing time, they're all wobbling out than us. Singing and roping the what. He said, hey up. Barman said, hey up, come here, I want the old glove. He said, what's up, lad? He said, oh, settling up. Wait. He said, I'm glad that reminded me. I'm right pleased. He said, it's a good job. He said, now then, has they got change for a dustbin lid?
Oh, it's great. Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when, because he come out with stuff like My Love and Sweet and Flower, you know, awesome, I'm a flower. Yeah, and awesome. Stuff. Just very, just very Yorkshire.
I could be wrong. I think he lived at Birdwell.
Really?
Yeah, there's a plaque. Yeah, you go through Birdwell, there's plaques up on, like, on lampposts. Mm-hmm.
A blue plaque.
I don't know if you can still do it now, but people have paid someone to council. You can have like your grandma's name on it, your dad's name, or whatever.
Yeah. Really?
And he's on there on one of them.
Right.
Is it? Uh-huh. He's still alive, isn't he?
That's why his plaque's on a bleeding lamppost, Mark.
Oh, is he dead?
Well, they haven't put a plaque on his lamppost saying you will soon be dead, have they?
Well, yeah, I think you can have plaques. Can't you have plaques when you're still alive? No.
Not normally.
No, really?
But a commemorative plaque.
Oh, I'm sure he's still alive, you know.
I don't.
Well, he won't be very happy when he sees that plaque that says he's dead.
What? Why does it say he's dead?
He's on a commemorative plaque.
I thought it was just a plaque to say.
But anyway. The point was yes. The difference, how clean the humour was.
Yeah.
Funny it was, but at the same time, them undertones and things that you go, you know, the mascara.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mascara, he'll be darker than me, you know, you get away with it now, but it's still. It's those sort of things that you go, ooh, people are a bit more PC about that sort of thing these days, aren't they?
It's a shame, isn't it?
My favourite kind of humour back in the day, obviously being a bit younger and not probably... Cause I mean, I really like the intelligent comedy that's around now and, you know, people that tell really good, solid jokes and, you know, really take a bit of thinking about. Mm. But when I were younger, and I still really like it now, is the... I'm trying to find the right word, how you say anarchy. Comedians that create anarchy.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So likes of Freddie Starr and I suppose Bobby Davros. Russ Abbott were one, actually. Mm.
What did they create? What?
Anarchy. It was just chaos.
Chaos. Yeah. So, a bit like Michael Barrymore.
Well, yeah. I was going to come to Michael Barrymore because one of my favourite ever TV moments were Michael Barrymore. But no, like Freddie Starr would go onto a set and, I don't know, Des O'Connor or whatever, and he'd just wreck it. Yeah. And it was funny. And in later years, Peter Kay started doing that. And it were a bit like, I've seen this before.
You know,
and although I do really like Peter Kay's comedy, there's some stuff you can see that's been regurgitated.
Yeah.
But one of my favourite ever TV moments was when Michael Barrymore, it was the NTA Awards.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Ross was hosting it. And Michael Barrymore, I don't know if he went up to collect an award and he picked the auto cue up and slung it.
Oh, yeah.
And that
were
it.
Yeah.
Jonathan Ross had to ad-lib the rest of the award ceremony live on TV. Yeah, he just picked it up and threw it off stage.
I thought Michael Barrymore were amazing.
He was.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How he could connect with people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they were that... Although he weren't necessarily a variety performer because he weren't a singer and dancer as such... but he was that sort of person who, on a stage, whether it be a game show, whether it be just telling jokes or presenting awards or whatever, they had a way with people.
Yeah. That were him. Because I wouldn't have even called him. He wasn't stand up, were he? Had he ever?
I don't think he were. I think he came from like went to a red coat or something.
Yeah.
Didn't he come from that sort of entertainment thing?
He was just an incredible presenter.
Really funny.
Yeah. He could just deal with people, and he was very quick.
I follow him on TikTok now. So he's very 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 active on TikTok.
I see bits and pieces.
What's he doing?
Well, he's
comedy stuff.
No, so his TikTok channel is a mixture of two things. So one, it's old clips.
It's his old clips of his...
Of stuff that he's done. Right. And honestly, you forget. Do you know what I mean? That so many years ago, you forget of some of the... You know, on his game shows and like when he did like My Kind of People...
Strike It Lucky, you know, all that.
And it's just so funny. You forget how funny it is. But then on the other side of it, it's him now, and it's him doing obviously like content creation. But just as he is now. So it might be him going and having something to eat, or it might be him going, but he's just so natural. I mean, he's getting on a bit now.
Can you remember when he used to host
Strike It Looking?
No. Child's Play.
Yes.
That were funny.
Is that the one where he had the I know it sounds obvious, but the kids on stage, and
that's
then
right.
he'd interview the kids.
They'd be describing stuff, and you'd have to guess what it were, and just so funny.
Yeah,
you've said it already once, Billy Connolly.
Yeah,
Billy Connolly for me is.
You see, I've never found him funny.
Have you really not?
No.
I haven't seen loads of his stuff, but I have seen. I've seen quite a bit. Obviously, my dad's Scottish.
The hardcore fans say that Billy Connolly was the one that actually made it acceptable to swear.
Yeah,
really.
He said some right things. He said that something I'd like to see just once. I'd love to see a suicide bomber instructor say to everyone, "Pay attention, lads. I'm only going to show you this once." I remember when he said, but back then it was kind of like, you know,
a bit edgy.
Yeah, a bit taboo. Yeah.
I mean, I watched a documentary, funny enough, of Billy Connolly only a couple of months ago because he's quite old. He lives in Florida now because he's got Parkinson's disease, or
Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's. And I watched it, although I've never been a fan, I've never really liked him as a person, but I watched it and it changed my opinion of him a little bit.
Because for the good or
for the good? Yeah. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I didn't hate him. I just didn't find him. Yeah. I couldn't connect with him. But watching this documentary about him, and he were talking about it because he started on a welder on chips in Glasgow.
That's right, shipbuilder.
Shipbuilding, and he sort of fell into comedy.
Yeah.
Worked his way up, and
well,
it was just a really
funny guy, isn't he, as well, when he talked.
That's what I liked him, because he weren't trying to be funny. We're just talking naturally.
He was an intelligent comedian.
Absolutely.
He was one of those stories that were funny.
But I just didn't. I don't know. I just didn't connect with him somewhere. But I know he's sort of like he's like a comedian's comedian, isn't he?
Yeah.
A lot of comedians look up to Billy Connolly.
Yeah,
you know. Anyway,
TV shows like Hail and Pace.
Oh yeah.
Some songs are very, very long.
This one isn't.
Yeah. I have not heard that done from when I watched it. Bloody hell, you're like, I'm thinking, where's this? I do remember that.
I'm surprised you like that, Mark, because it's quite short. You like long.
No,
you like
I can't,
long things,
can't
don't
pay
you?
Attention for anything longer than that.
But your intros are so long.
Did any of you like Harry Enfield?
Yes.
Yeah, loved Harry Enfield.
Harry Enfield and Chums.
And Paul Whitehouse.
And Paul Whitehouse.
Yeah.
And then he went on to Fast Show.
Yeah, Fast Show.
Fast Show,
Kathy Burke.
Me and Mark spent some of our youth writing comedy sketches.
Yes.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did I? Not you.
Oh. I still remember him. I still remember him to this day.
I remember one of them.
Share it with us. Day. Come on, then.
The old guy at the checkout.
That's funny. I like that.
No, I'm trying to think how it went. It's a long time ago, this. I mean, Mark, you would have been in your 40s.
So what are we talking then? About 1970?
Yeah.
I remember, should I tell you one I remember?
Go on.
That we wrote? So there was this ongoing character, as there are in sketch shows.
Yeah.
And it was an old bloke, or an older bloke. And he kept trying to go somewhere.
That's right.
He kept trying to go somewhere. So he kept trying to put his coat on, if you like, but there was always a reason that stopped him. Always a reason that stopped him going. So, like, walking down the street, going to the bus stop and tapping his stick on fence as he's walking past. And then he gets to the bus stop, and just as bus pulls up and doors open, he hears the noise. He turns around, and all fence falls down.
All spindles are falling down behind him as he's clipped him.
That sounds like Unlucky Elf on Fast Show.
I don't know, is it?
You just mentioned Fast Show.
Yeah.
There's a character, Old Guy,
yeah,
played by Paul Whitehouse,
yeah,
called Unlucky Elf.
All right, well, maybe we just ripped it.
maybe we just ripped him off and forgot about it. But you did this,
when did you do this?
Before Paul.
For copyright reasons, you're saying that.
He must have seen it on YouTube in 1995.
Because that was his name, Unlucky Elf. Things went wrong for him.
One that I do remember, we said it was going to be the final scene of this guy. So obviously, you know, all these different sketches. But sat in his front living room and he's watching TV and kids are playing outside, and they're making a noise, so he keeps having to turn volume up on TV. So like, he'll turn volume up like trying to watch TV, but then kids will get louder and louder and louder, so he'll turn volume up a bit more, gets louder and louder and louder. Anyway, a leaflet gets delivered through the door and it's all about quadruple glazing, you know, soundproof everything, you know, stuff like that. And he thinks, right, that's what, you know, so obviously he has this soundproofing done with his double glazing, quadruple glazing. And then he sat there and you see him sat there watching TV and he can't hear a thing. So he turns TV down even more, can't hear a thing. Silence. Turns it down even more, can't hear a thing. Next thing, you see smoke coming under the door from kitchen. And obviously, house is on fire. And final shot is you see him banging on window to try and get someone's attention to let him out, but no one can hear him.
Yeah, it's quite a sick and twisted one, that one, isn't it?
Is this one of your things you give? It's quite.
And he's closing line at every scene where, oh, bugger.
Well, hang on, that is Unlucky Elf. That's what.
Oh, I seriously.
Is this what you guys have thought?
I mean, we're going back to the 90s.
Yeah, 90s.
Early 90s.
I'm confused.
Mid-90s.
Because in the Fast Show, they had this character. I've already said this, I know, but the character was called Unlucky Elf, Old Guy.
Yeah.
And things would go wrong and then it ended, go, bugger. And that's what you guys have just... Honestly, listeners will be listening to this going, these guys, the Mark and Kirk's ripping Fast Show off.
That's probably more like it.
We're going to have to put a date stamp on when he did that, then, aren't we?
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
I mean, it would be amazing, Matt. It would be amazing if like Mark's just said, that you find out when you guys thought of this and then find out when Fast Show
came
out.
I'd have said realistically about 94. When me and Mark were riding
into
a bus stop.
Yeah, is it a bus stop? Yeah.
Someone has stolen your work.
We've watched it at some point.
Hang on. Oh, I've had an idea.
And always had this idea that it was our idea.
Well, it would be amazing. If you're saying 95.
Like 94.
Well, I don't think Fast Show came out till late 90s. So you might have created this character that Paul Whitehouse and co. came up with before you.
I'd have been about 12, 13. Mark could have been about 15.
Just think of what royalties you're going to get now if you write to Paul Whitehouse.
Unlucky Elf.
Unlucky Elf.
Has it got a ear on it?
And can you play it and where he says bugger at the end? He goes bugger. Because he's got a Macintosh raincoat on and a trilby hat. And a moustache, old beard and that.
1996.
Oh, then you got... You guys might be beat him to it.
We might have ripped him off, actually.
Really? Wow.
Well, I think ours were a bit earlier than that.
It just sounds very obvious with that old bugger bit as well.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, it's what you would say that in Yorkshire. Oh, bugger.
I know you would, yeah. But it's very coincidental.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but then this is the thing.
We come up with a character that exists at the same time.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's subliminal. You know, you'd obviously maybe seen a sketch, not even realised it, and in your thoughts of doing it, you've gone, oh, we could say that and that'd be funny. Yeah. You've not linked it to that, but that's what gave you the idea. Yeah. You know, that happens all the time with loads of things.
What do we reckon to Michael McIntyre?
Yeah.
I really like him.
Yeah. I don't think you like him. I don't think you
do, though,
do you? I
think he's very different.
No, I do.
Oh, you do? I thought...
I do. And again, I know, sorry, bringing it back boring a little bit, but I had, my level of respect went up for him even more once I'd read/listened.
When you listen to his autobiography.
Because again, although I do like his comedy, and I do like that observational type of comedy, there were a little piece of me that was a little bit like, is he a bit entitled? Has he just been, you know, had the... Because of the way he is.
You know.
So it's like he's got a silver spoon in his mouth,
isn't
he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
But then you listen to his autobiography and you realise that's just not the case.
Did he start as a coal miner or something?
Well, not necessarily that he started as a coal miner, but he didn't have money.
He was the Artful Dodger.
Yeah. He didn't come from money. And if anything, you know, his mum and dad had very, very bad luck regarding money and he ended up, you know, again.
How did he get, sorry to interrupt, how did, so, does, does he say how he got into comedy?
Yeah, I mean, he was very...
telling jokes.
Yeah. It was
that's
very...
That's a good way, isn't it?
Traditional, if you like. So he went to the Edinburgh Fringe, but he had to fund it himself. And again, it had got to a point where the last time that he went was the kind of the time when it was like, it's now or never, if you like. He'd run out of money. He'd not got the backing. It was like, it either goes now or I have to go and find a proper job, for the want of a better term. So again, my respect went up for him even more after that. But yeah, okay. I do like that situational comedy. I think you're same regarding stuff like that,
yeah,
aren't you, Mark?
Yeah.
That observational situational comedy. I think obviously Peter Kay does it incredibly well.
Yeah.
Incredibly well.
Has either of you been to see his more recent shows in recent years?
Peter Kay's,
yeah.
Yes.
No. I think you have,
that he did most recently. Yeah,
I have as well. It's clever stuff, isn't it?
We were good, weren't it?
Particularly the finale.
Yes.
We won't spoil it for anybody.
Yeah, don't. I haven't actually seen it yet. But,
no, well, I won't say anything. But
I imagine it'll be coming on DVD soon. I think he's
DVD.
Got another...
DVD?
DVD? VHS.
DVD?
That's hilarious that I even thought that. It will be, I guess, and they'll stream it. He'll sell it to someone.
Stream it?
Stream it.
You live?
No.
So, I know what you're saying.
So what about a bit more edgy comedy then? So what about things like Ricky Gervais, Jimmy Carr?
They're my flavour then.
I've seen both of them live.
I've not seen either of them live, and I would love to.
I've seen Jimmy Carr live.
Jimmy Carr were good.
Jimmy Carr was very good.
Yeah. Jimmy Carr,
very good.
Ricky Gervais tickets were extremely difficult to get hold of.
I can imagine.
They were very difficult.
But again, another genius of comedy.
Genius, yeah.
But what are your thoughts regarding that then?
Did you see what Ricky Gervais put on social media recently about? And he's obviously not been doing a lot on TV, and he wanted to host the Golden Globes again. And what he would say is his opening speech.
Well, I saw a picture of him sat in a bath.
Yeah.
Could be presenting.
So this is how he would open the 82nd. Hello and welcome to the 82nd Global.
Is that what he would say?
He's still got his head underwater in bath.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Hello and welcome to the 82nd Golden Globe Awards. What a year it's been. Hundreds of entertainers jumped at the chance to go to the Vatican to meet the Pope. Many from Hollywood. Obviously, they weren't content with only being part of the second biggest pedo ring in the world.
but how true is that? Yeah.
So how true is that? Well, that's a different level.
Can I just say, Ricky, Alan, not Alan,
Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr's favourite one when he says,
"Careful,
nurse.
We're a family podcast."
Nurse looks at rectal thermometer in pocket and thinks, "Some asshole's got me pen."
What's your thoughts on then, like the PC-ness, if you like, of comedy and the way that people are getting, you know, comedians? Do you feel as though it's okay that a comedian should be able to joke about anything because it's
yes.
a joke?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do. It is a joke.
Because it's a joke. It's comedy.
Yeah, I think, and years gone by, you know, it's probably still a thing now, actually, but I remember going to East Coast. And there were a comedian on East Coast. I never saw him myself because it's not my bag. And he were almost like a knockoff of Chubby Brown. I think he was called Sid Dennis.
Sid Dennis. I would just say, I was just talking about Sid Dennis.
And if he were on, he'd do like pubs in and around Ingle Mills and all that sort of thing. But outside, he'd say, not for the easily offended. Or if you're easily offended, don't come in.
Stay away, yeah.
It's simple as that. Yeah. And so I sort of respect the fact that if that's there, if I'm easily offended, don't go in. Because literally, it's anything goes on the other side of the door.
And I presume you're paying to go in, or can you just walk in? I mean, not that it makes a difference.
I didn't go in.
Oh, right.
Not for the easily offended, so I didn't go in.
Yeah, yeah.
Not my kind of humour, really.
Yeah, okay.
But for those that, you know, look at that and think, oh, this is going to be tasty, I'm going in. Mm. Fair play. You know, that's... They've gone in, they've signed up for it. You know, if you're going to go and watch Ricky Gervais or you talk about Jimmy Carr and his name will come to me in a second. Scottish guy with the ginger hair and beard and glasses.
Boyle.
Frankie Boyle.
You know what you get. You know what you're getting.
It's not ginger.
Sorry?
It's not ginger.
Is he not ginger?
No, I don't think so.
It is very light brown hair, though. It does look...
Anyway.
It matters.
Yeah, so, you know, you sort of know what you're getting. Now... Not my bag, but to some people, they'd be like, yeah, I find that really fun. I'm going to go and watch them. I don't think anybody should say, you shouldn't be able to do that, because, well, you know, you're collectively putting people into a room, he's entertaining them, they're coming away happy. Now, he's not hate preacher or anything like that. Yep. You know, people aren't coming out of there going, yeah, I'm going to burn this down, yeah, I'm going to trash this, I'm going to do...
He's telling jokes, yeah.
He's telling jokes. He's making fun out of people who are sat at the front. You know, if you're brave enough, go and sit at the front and so on. And so I think, you know, but I've not got a problem with that existing in that environment. I think there is an argument to be had with certainly social media where you could put stuff out that could be offensive. And so I think...
For instance, I don't know, putting a comedian on the Royal Variety Show and him saying it on a mic that the people that are watching it, they chose to watch the Royal Variety performance but
weren't
didn't expect that.
Which is why they put on people that
are
family
friendly. Yeah, I was going to say, they're never going to do that.
On the Royal Variety Show. No,
exactly. So, and I think there is room for things to exist like that are done in such a manner that is there for entertainment only, for people that choose to watch it. I think, you know, chucking it out there publicly is dangerous, you know.
But you're right. But the problem where you said about, you know, you sign up and watch a comedian because you know what you're getting into. But the problem is, what's happening now is we're getting to a point where people are saying, well, we don't want this comedian. Like Chubby Brown's a good example of that. A lot of councils just won't let him perform in their city halls.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, well, that's not right. I know they're going, well, we don't want him in our town. Yeah, but what about the people that live in your town might want to go and see him, and surely that's their choice.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong.
It's a bit of a nanny state, then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it's wrong. You should, you know.
It goes back to the question that, you know, that I've considered, because I've seen quite a lot of it on social media and stuff, that, you know, it's okay for people to be offended. It's okay. It's okay.
Absolutely.
For somebody to be offended, it doesn't mean there needs to be an outcome for it.
No.
It doesn't. You know. Okay, you're offended. Okay.
Yeah.
That's that.
Go away and be offended.
That's it. Be offended. I don't. Yeah. You know. I know there's a fine line between it being rammed down your throat and being put into situations where, you know, I get all that, but being offended, should it be a crime? Do you get what I mean? Like when we start talking about this cancel culture and stuff like that. You know, that if a comedian's job is to make people laugh and they have, you know, let's say 1,000 people in their concert make you laugh and 999 of them are finding it funny, then they're just doing their job.
Well, yeah.
Well, exactly. Not like now. Sorry, Mark, because it's a short point. It's just more like... Because there's so many jokes out there and things have been said so many times, the way now to sometimes make people laugh is to shock them almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes them laugh. Which
Jimmy Carr's very much like controversial
statements. That's what they're doing. They literally make controversial statements, and that always raises. Well, it raises a lot of things.
Even
the
audience will sometimes go,
oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Well, when I went to see Jimmy Carr, he started off with a joke. I won't repeat it. I won't.
We are
a family friendly podcast, so I'm not going to, you know. And he told his joke, and the reaction was people laughing. And also going, ooh, because it was edgy.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember him still on stage going, right, let me just put this out there. You can't laugh and go ooh at the same time. Yeah. It's either funny or it's not.
Exactly.
What I don't get is people paying good money to go and see somebody like Ricky Gervais and then being offended by it. I just don't. I can't compute in my head what's going around in their head. Surely, are they going in going, never heard of this guy?
Yeah,
I don't even know if he's a dirty what's going off in their head. Mm. I can't. But that sometimes happens where they'll go and watch it and come out and go, I'm offended.
Yeah.
What?
It's like someone paying to go into a peep show in Amsterdam and then coming out and complaining that there were too much nudity.
Yeah.
I thought you were looking at Mark then. Has this happened or something with Mark?
The thing is, though, like now you could say that, like you said, PC and are they stifling comedy because of PC, but actually it would be regarded nowadays that it's freer now than it was back in the day when sometimes you could just say what you wanted to some degree. There was a female comedian, so she sang a song called Banging, and it was talking about having sex with many men, and she was sued $1.6 million. Is this
an American woman?
It's American, yeah, but this is 60s, $1.6 million for two teachers that said she'd scarred them for life, basically.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And then another guy, again, don't know the name of this guy, someone in the audience was so upset and aggravated offended, they performed a citizen's arrest and arrested him.
What, the comedian?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't know where that was. Americans, I don't know where, I read that somewhere, and I don't know where. But yeah, these are the stuff like they're in the past. That's just that weird. Wouldn't happen now, would
it? Have you seen the series The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
I haven't. No.
And I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think it is.
Don't look at me. I've
never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Let alone seen it.
It's obviously it's fictional. It's a fictional thing, but it's set in the I want to say the '40s. Either 20s or the 40s. I think it's the 40s. And it's about a female wanting to be a comedian and how hard it was to get into that line of work being a female.
Is it?
It's fictional.
It's not based on anything.
Not that I know of. I don't believe so. But it's really, really funny. Obviously, it is. It's very, very funny. But it does highlight that fact that, you know, that although it's not probably based on a true story, that them kind of things did happen, didn't they? Yeah. That, you know, women found it harder to get into them kind of jobs and them kind of. But
yeah.
I'd strongly recommend that series. Actually, yeah. It's,
is it on Netflix?
No, I think it's on Amazon Prime.
All right.
I think but it is really funny.
So what about double acts? Comedy double acts, like two Ronnies.
Oh, I mean,
Morecambe and Wise.
Absolute classics. You know, they always play them at Christmas, don't they?
They do. Well, I was only telling Ethan the other day about the famous four candles sketch with the two Ronnies, and we all know it.
Yeah.
Ethan had sort of not, he'd heard of it because.
But he didn't know why. He didn't know.
Yeah, and a couple of people from his work had sort of said, oh, four candles away. Yeah. But obviously, but he just thought that was the gag, as in four candles, you know, handles for God. He thought that was it. I said, no, there's a whole, you know, sketch of it.
Yeah.
When I say whole sketch, it's, but you know, because there's a few other things. And I played it over there on YouTube. And he was like, this is great.
I don't know whether I'm misremembering, but you don't really see
double acts
anymore, do you?
Other than Ant and Dec.
Ant and Dec, yeah, but... Yeah,
and no, they're not comedians as such, are they?
No.
They're presenters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you wouldn't put them in a comedy category, would you?
No. Well, you don't. I mean, back in the day, there were loads of them. There were Morecambe and Wise, Little and Large, Hale and Pace, Two Ronnies.
Yeah.
I like how every time we go on to a subject, you have to list all of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going back in my memory.
Yeah.
But there were loads, but like you said, we don't get, there's hardly any. And as for double female acts, there's only French and Saunders I can think of.
Oh, yeah.
Mel and Sue.
Yeah. Are they comedians? Well,
they were comedians, yeah.
Are they? Yeah.
Right. I mean, Mel Gilroych, is that how you pronounce it? How'd you pronounce it?
Gilroych.
Mel.
Good luck editing this one out as well.
No, leave it in. I think she's quite funny. I mean, not as a stand-up, but when I watch her on, say, she's presenting Have I Got News For You or something like that, I think she's, for me, I find her naturally quite funny. She, you know.
I tell you a show that I do find very, very, very funny.
Yes.
Taskmaster.
Yes, yeah. I like Taskmaster.
You know, like, laugh out loud.
Yeah, that is funny.
I've only watched a bit of it, and other than that, I just can't really...
I thought that'd be your thing.
No, yeah, I can't really get on with it. I'm a bit like...
The only trouble I have with Taskmaster is there's just too many goddamn series.
I love it.
I love it, but I'm watching like series 15, I'm going, hang on a minute, there's series 20 here.
Yeah.
There's too many of them, but they are funny. And every series, obviously, they have different people on, don't they? That is funny.
Yeah.
Everything's funny about it, but yeah, I do like that as well.
Did you like Reeves and Mortimer?
I liked the quiz show they do, Shooting Stars.
All right.
But I know they weren't stand-up, but that was the pinnacle of 90s because that were everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
The Dove from Above, you know.
I liked things like Monkey Trousers.
Yeah, you're talking about the sketch show they did.
And This Is Ginsey.
That weren't
Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer, but
I don't remember that.
Really,
their big night out.
Really far out comedy. Like
bonkers. Yeah, it was.
Like your arms are like, their arms are really long.
Right.
And they're talking, it's really, you'd have to go, you'd look on YouTube for This Is Ginsey.
Yeah.
It's bonkers, I love it. But it's like, it's so daft, I find it mesmerising.
Yeah.
See, I don't. It's just different, obviously, types of stuff that you find. For me, when something tips that line of daft,
yeah,
I just lose it. I just like, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
I'm not interested.
I have a tolerance level.
I'm not saying I'm right. No right or wrong. It's just an opinion.
Yeah,
just
that. What about The Goes Wrong Show?
Never heard of it.
You'd love it.
It's a theatre.
I think.
Well, funny you should say that, Mark, because, you know, we were talking in a previous podcast about Roy Rowter performance.
Yes.
I've watched it, and there's a clip in it where there's a spies.
Yes, is that it?
Well, no, but the company that does what's behind that has done this.
They're a theatre company.
It's a theatre company.
They'll do a show, and it'll, like, every week it'll be set somewhere else.
Yeah.
And a guy will open it up and go, "I am the director." And, you know, obviously he's the director and everything else. And literally, everything that happens, they miss the cue points, things fall off. It's brilliant.
Well, you've seen that, Spies. It's fantastic, brilliant, isn't it?
There's a Christmas one, and I think it's the funniest one that they did.
Is it quite old, this? Is it?
It's in the last...
I would say 4 or 5 years ago, maybe.
It's definitely in the last 10 years.
Right, okay.
So probably...
this is live in London, isn't it? It's on in the West End.
Is it? I presume they were just a clip.
Well, the guy who does... He's a really big guy. Probably. I hope he never listens to this. I'm not that bloody big.
No, he's a big guy.
He's a big guy, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's actually from that spy thing, I reckon, yeah.
Right. He was actually on a quiz show about riddles recently.
Oh, Bob will know him. He does riddles, Rob.
He does riddles. But yeah, really, it's really, really funny.
I hope his riddles are better than mine.
Yeah.
They are.
They are. Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of offensive comedy, you know, it's one of them, isn't it? You either listen to it, and if you find it offensive, you don't listen to it.
Yeah.
So, exactly. And that's okay. And then that's it. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a retribution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the right word?
A question then, right? I know the answer for me personally, but do you think there's any comedy that would offend you? Because for me, I don't think there's anything that would I'd go, you know what, there's nothing that would offend me.
Not offend me. I'd just go,
what do you mean?
It's not for me.
Not for
I would go, oh my God, no, yeah, I can't believe I've heard that.
You're probably talking about, that's in bad taste. But I'm talking about as in offended, as in, I'm out of here. That's too much.
But what would you even think is bad taste? What would make you go, oh, I don't want to listen to this?
I'm not bothered about blue comedy.
Or vulgar. You're not bothered about vulgar comedy, are you?
I don't go, oh my God, and put my hands over my ears. I go like that.
I've seen him put his hands over his ears.
And my eyes.
I mean, I absolutely love it.
I do.
Yeah,
I love
don't get me wrong. There are bits and pieces because it would be funny, that I would laugh at.
Yeah.
But I feel awkward, I think, when they talk about, if you go into certain detail, like certain comedians will talk about genitalia, etc., and into extreme details.
He talks about anything about that.
Yeah, listen. When we were at Kendall Calling, the Russell Howard was on.
He's good.
And do you know what? I'd never rated him before. I'd never really rated him, but I'd only ever seen him on like panel shows and stuff. Yeah. And I'd not really rated him. But then when I watched his stand up at Kendall Calling, I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
And so did Mark, I know that.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because as soon as he started going down a certain line of comedy, all I could do, because Mark was stood off to my left and slightly in front of me, all I could do was look at Mark.
Because he was funnier than me.
Because all I was doing was waiting to see his reaction.
But I won't go like that. You can't say that. I would never be that person.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to mention the topic, but somebody once told a joke, and I'll say it when we've stopped recording. I won't tell you the jokes. I can't remember all of it, but the topic it was really like a lot of people would find it offensive. It was very cleverly done, and I thought, do you know what? That's quite clever how you've done that, but it's not something I would say that you should be putting on social media and things like that.
I don't think there's anything at all that I would personally find offensive.
No.
I do think there's a couple of subjects that I don't think should be joked about.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Are you going to share them with us or not?
I can do, because I'm not. I'm saying that they can't be made. So I don't think that comedians should be making jokes about the Holocaust, for instance.
No.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that they should be making jokes on terrorist attacks, for instance, because they're very serious things that have happened that. There is no funny side to them.
Yeah.
There isn't a funny side to them. Okay. So would I find it offensive and think that somebody should be, you know, hung, drawn and quartered for it? No. But do I think that is what I would class as bad taste?
Yeah.
Making fun of something that there is no funny, or there shouldn't be any funny side to it. Then that's where I think the line should be drawn.
I've heard, that's fair enough. I mean, I've heard, obviously, Jimmy... not Gervais, Ricky Gervais joke about both of those subjects, yeah. and I found them extremely funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I understand that's your sort of red line, if you like.
It was about it's so taboo.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah.
It's so taboo.
I mean,
almost makes you go...
I think the intelligence behind his comedy is that he's not actually making the joke about what he's saying. Mm. He's making the joke about the people that are actually listening to him saying
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's very cleverly done into... He's saying it just to get the reaction, knowing that he shouldn't... It's hard to... It's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the joke you're referring to is the one about, I'm not going to say it.
No. And on that note.
Yeah, because you'll have Kurt walking out.
It's the one with the death, the that, and what they get for Christmas. It's that one, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But
I thought you weren't saying it. I said it.
Can you fill it out for me? Because I can't remember it.
You know it. You know what it is.
Time at the bar, please.
I've got a joke. I couldn't remember it. I've had to rewrite myself. And it does make me chuckle.
Mark's walked off to the bar because Sally's not...
Yeah, with boredom, he's going around looking and eating up. Sit down. So a young lad is preparing...
Is this Tommy?
It can be.
Is it Tommy?
Tommy's preparing to take his girlfriend to the prom. And he wants to make it a big event. So first thing, he wants to get a tux. He knows what tux he wants.
Okay.
And he knows the shop he needs to go to. So he goes to the shop to get a tux. When he gets there, the tux line is just so long. Massive queues. But he's patient. And he waits. He knows he wants that exact tux. So he waits. Eventually he gets his tux. Then he knows he wants to get some flowers. So he goes to the florist. Now there's a massive line at florist. Florist line's massive. And he's like, do you know what? I really want to get these flowers. They're the only ones I want, and then I can only get them from here, so I'm going to wait. So he does, he waits, and he gets them from there. And then, I'm going to get a limo. And he knows exactly what limo he wants, and he knows there's only one place he can get this limo from, so he goes to the limo rental place, and the limo line is just, it's just really long, and he's just, but I want this limo, and this is the only place I can get it from, so that's where I'm going to get it from. So he does. Anyway... The time arrives, he's at the prom, and his girlfriend is absolutely amazed by the effort he's gone in. She loves the tux, she loves the flowers, and she thinks he looks really smart. And they're having the first dance, and they finish the first dance, and she says, she asks him if he'll go and get him some punch. So he does.
Is this like Kirk's joke, where you're going to say to us, I don't get it.
No.
Is that the...
Well, there were no punchline.
Oh. You've been knocking around with Mark too long.
Mark, not me.
You haven't got it.
Oh.
Get what?
There's no punchline.
Because there were long lines.
Have you got it now?
I like that.
I think we should be spinning the wheel, to be honest.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh,
I'm just so excited.
Oh. Go on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So last week's was Plot Puzzle, where I gave 5 words to name a film.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a reminder of the words,
yes, please?
Yeah.
Recap.
So it's Whispers, Shadows, Secrets, Seeing, Beyond. So Whispers, Shadows, Secrets, Seeing, Beyond. It's a film.
Mystery type film?
I think 20 questions.
My guess...
I've got two films.
My guess would be Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Oh, good guess. It's incorrect.
Is it one of Harry Potter's?
Nope.
Oh, is that the one with the shadows in it and the voices when he's like whispering and stuff?
You should have let Mark go through each film and then go, no, it's one of them.
I've got two.
Okay.
But one of them, I'm not even sure if it even makes any sense. It just came into my head and I thought, oh. The first one I'm going to go with is Ghost.
Incorrect.
All right, okay, I see.
The second one, which I know I don't get a second answer, but I'm going to give it anyway, and I don't know why I've thought of this film, and I can't see why this is right, is 7.
Incorrect.
Nah.
Did you know they're making a sequel of that?
Oh, were they?
It's called 8.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I don't know. I have no idea with this film. It's going to be
pull the blinder there. Can you say it once more, please?
Yeah. So, Whispers, shadows, secrets, seeing beyond. I mean, I must admit, one of them words, I don't see where it fits.
Is it beyond?
But this is AI. No, shadows.
Oh, right.
I'm not quite sure where
Can
shadows
Can you say it again
fits.
Without shadows in?
Whispers, whispers, secrets, seeing beyond.
Whispers.
Oh.
Secrets.
Is it the... What's his name? Die Hard guy. What's his name? Bruce Willis. Is it the...
Sixth Sense. Yeah. Yes, it's that bloody it shadows. That's
Will Sixth Sense.
Oh, is it? Have I got my mind?
I have children in it. Honestly, it came into my head originally, but the shadows was lit. I was a bit like, that don't make sense.
Hang on, so you're not claiming victory for that?
No, I'm not. Definitely not.
Thank you.
That's yours.
Sixth Sense.
But
yes.
But that did mislead
when
a little
when
bit.
I read it, was, I, was yeah. like, I was like, I'm not quite sure where the shadows bit comes in, but it's just AI. That's what it did.
Well, why don't you do what you did last time and just do four words?
Yeah. And Kirk, what if us three have got that sixth sense?
Mark won't get it because he's not seen it.
All the listeners are sat there going, why does he keep going quiet every time them three aren't talking?
Yeah.
And who's talking?
No. You mean the other one?
All right, let's get his wheel spun.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
I didn't want it to fall on me. I'd just like to sit and listen to others.
We bring to you today's broadcast.
I have a dream.
They think it's all over. It is.
It's one small step for man.
You must stay at home.
Today in history.
So, day in history then. So, basic rules to this. I just read what's happening today, which is 19th of January.
And what happens if we break those rules?
Well, there's not much rules to it, is there?
No.
Unless I make a day up for, like, you know, February or something.
I mean, that's absolutely cool, but could you do it for today, the 17th of January?
Oh, is it? What did I say? Yeah, 17th. Yeah, that's right, yeah. I'll do it again.
Did you say 19th?
Yeah. I don't know why I got a 19th in my head. So, today in history, so simple to this. There's no rules.
We're not going to cut it out.
17th of January. Yeah. Right, so there's not much happening, I'll tell you what, guys, on 17th of January in history. So let's go all the way back as we normally do. Right.
You normally do. Back at Yellow Pages.
Recycle paper. Yeah. I don't use phones like you guys.
Mark buys recycled paper.
It's all from back as well. It's window cleaners. Window cleaners.
Do not deliver. Call and tag. I don't know what that is.
Mark actually cuts his post up and uses it for a notepad.
Can we do this today in history? Thank you very much. Right, so 1892, right?
Wow.
I know, a long time ago. Basketball was invented.
Oh.
Whereas I thought that would have been older.
I would have.
It is older than that, isn't it?
No, 1892. Basketball we invented.
I thought the Aztecs invented basketball.
Oh, yeah, they did. No, 1892 we invented. It was invented by a Canadian school instructor.
Was it?
Called James Naismith. Yeah. Yeah, I thought, because I double checked, I thought, don't sound very old, but that's when it was. So, moving on to 19...
Did you win?
What?
That game.
Very clever. So, 1929, Popeye made his first appearance in a comic strip in 1929.
Oh.
Did you know, and there's nothing to do with today in history, but did you know that Popeye's only got one eye?
No.
Is that why he's all the ones?
Well, I know
closed?
One of them's like that.
Yeah, because he's because he's no eye. He's only got one eye.
Oh, I thought it were a wink.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but he actually never does it, does he?
But he never winks. He's just got it closed because he's only got one eye.
He popped it.
I didn't know that.
I was supposed to go to Popeye place when we went to Malta. They filmed a film.
That's
Popeye
right.
Oh yeah, they've got a set there, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Robin
it's still
Williams.
There. It's now. It was just a set when I went back in 1993. It was it was just the set. Now it's a theme park.
Wow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Based on?
Spinach.
Popeye. Spinach.
And also Popeye, again, nothing to do with today in history, is actually based on a real base. Not, he's not a real man, but he's based on a Polish sailor called Frank Fergel. That's what he's based on, Popeye.
When he ate spinach, he grew big muscles.
Did he sing that song? A good heart. These days that, it's hard to find.
No, you're thinking of Fergal Sharkey. But it's close. He's close.
I'm glad you're here, Mark, because he got straight off a man in Rob's head.
Me and just sat here going, what?
That's what you're thinking about, isn't it? Fergal Sharkey. When I say he's based, obviously he's based, obviously this Polish guy, he didn't eat spinach, by the way. That's what I'm saying. Right, it's just okay. His character, his looks. So 1978, Sex Pistols announced they were splitting up. But what's unusual about it is they did a concert, and then straight after the concert they announced they were splitting up. But they didn't know they were going to split up. They just decided to split up then. And that was in 1978.
Wow.
But
right.
They didn't split
literally
up.
Literally on stage just went, do you know what?
Yeah, that's it.
F this. Yeah. That's just...
And that's how it happened. 1984... funny enough, we were talking about this in this episode or earlier one, about videotapes. So in USA in 1984, the Supreme Court got involved in the private use of VCRs, saying it was acceptable and legal for TV for programs to be recorded onto VHS tapes. Mm. Because obviously, if you remember, when back in the days when we had VHS tapes, we used to record TV programmes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But technically, that was illegal to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know this is about USA, but in 1984, they decided it weren't violating any laws, so we were allowed. I don't think anybody ever got prosecuted about it, but there you go.
Was that Calvin Harris, that?
I've got to think about your joke here, Mark.
I haven't
it, it was what? Acceptable in the 80s.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I didn't pick up on that. So let's jump.
I'm glad Mark didn't have any jokes for this episode.
So 1982, Mark, which is quite.
I like how you're doing this in chronological order.
I know.
Yeah, I try.
But you haven't.
Have
you
I not?
No.
Oh right, yeah. I see. What you know? What's happened there? I've not put an asterisk.
Oh,
on my,
that would have
on
made
my
all the difference.
Love asterisk.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, great.
I did. Do you know there's asterix an actual live film? Do you know there's a film on Netflix?
Yeah.
Do you know, I've read somewhere actually. Is it actually like, is it on there now?
Been on there a year, yeah.
Has it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd read somewhere.
All in French, but it's subtitled.
Yeah. There's a theme park in France, isn't there?
Yeah.
Asterix theme park, yeah. Just outside Paris.
Guys, I'm doing a feature. We're not talking about that because it's a French character in Asterix.
I actually thought it was Belgian.
It might be, well, I don't. Is he? Have you got any?
It's certainly French Belgian. That's, yeah. I thought, I'm out of mixing.
Well, you know what's happening here? Our French listeners.
But they speak French anyway.
Our French listeners will be screaming at this.
Anyway.
So, 1982, right?
You're like our very own time machine.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I remember all these. I were alive from all. So, 1982, in America, it was dubbed as Cold Sunday, right? And it's been their coldest day they've ever had. And it literally affected every state in America. I mean, every state, like even the hot states. And
hey, what's the chances of that?
I know.
And it's a Sunday.
Is it? And it's a Sunday. Yeah. And cold. I think it was Tuesday. They just called it Cold Sunday. So cold air swept in from Canada and plunged temperatures down to the lowest ever they've ever recorded, which is minus 47 degrees.
Wow. I take it that's Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit was minus 52. So it was 52 Fahrenheit or 47 degrees.
Wow.
Minus.
Yeah.
And that's the coldest day they've ever had in America in 1982.
I mean, that is cold, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
like how you had the forethought to write both of them down.
I know.
Obviously, in places
in case
like
Kirk asked the question.
Well, that's why I did it.
In places like Finland, that's not cold. That is
no,
cold.
Yeah,
but to them, that's not.
That's just a summer's day.
We had that some of them temperatures when we went. But
wow.
Right. So 2007, this was. The doomsday clock, so we all know what the doomsday clock is, don't we?
Yes.
No.
Rob, do you want to explain to him, Kurt?
No.
Mark, do you want to explain to him?
No.
Okay.
Do you, Mark?
Yeah, I do. So the doomsday clock is what, I don't know who sets it, it's some like scientists or people like this in the world that set.
They keep adjusting, don't they? It's the height of threat and everything else.
That's right. It's how close we are to the world basically ending.
Yeah. But isn't it always nearly up? And it always like...
Yeah, it's not like
5 minutes to go, four minutes to go, sort of thing. Yeah.
It's never like 5 hours away. Yeah. It's always minutes.
So it's like minutes
relatively
away.
Imminent.
Yeah. Well, this...
What, from when the end of the planet is?
Well, when we think that, because of nuclear war or you know...
Surely we can be a bit more specific than 4 minutes. It's going to be hours, isn't it? We know that something's going to happen at some point.
It's not a bloody Rolex.
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is where we get a particular, like, you know... you think about the threats in the world.
Yeah.
Right, so this is what I'm going to. So in 2007, the doomsday clock was set to 5 minutes to midnight in response to North Korea's first nuclear test. So North Korea did a nuclear test. So because of that, the threat of the world ended, they moved the doomsday clock to 5 minutes towards midnight. But that was 2007. So that sort of sent the world, if you like, into shockwaves.
Right. Right?
However,
it's been closer than that recently.
Well, I'm going to say, to get some perspective, the doomsday clock currently is set to 90 seconds.
Oh, that's, my
so we've
days.
Never been in a more
fragile
state.
Yeah.
But back in 2007, we were panicking then, and that were five minutes away. And now it's literally 90 seconds away. So
that's scary. And that just made me go, oh.
And how it's set to this very day is the closest it's ever been to sort of the world ending since 1947, when they invented this doomsday clock. So there you go. So wow. I'm not going to finish.
I'm sure Trump will sort it.
you mean move it closer?
Yeah.
10 seconds.
Yeah, it'll be 4 seconds.
Do we finish on a light note, Mark?
Yeah, we do finish on a light note. Yeah, 2008. Is that yeah? A year later, bit of a more lighter note.
They move it to 6 minutes, to
a BA flight, Boeing 77 crashed. I'll come to the light bit in a minute.
I'm glad that weren't it.
No. That's not the light bit, no. So a BA flight 38, Boeing 77 crashed at Heathrow Airport. This was 2008. And it crashed 330 metres short of the runway. And it lost power in both jet engines because of ice crystals in the fuel pipes. And it was the first time a 777 Boeing ever crashed, and they've been in service years. So the light note to it is no one died in that crash at all. Everybody survived.
Wow.
And as usual, today is National Kid Inventions Day. So it encourages kids to invent. And it's also, this is really good for me anyway, it's National Ditch the New Year's Resolution Day. So if you've got a New Year's resolution, particularly you guys who've got all these wages going off, you can ditch them all. Famous birthdays today then is Jim Carrey's.
Oh.
He's 62 today.
Alrighty then.
Calvin Harris.
Did a comedy.
Calvin Harris, funny enough, you mentioned him. It's his birthday. He's 40. And Michelle Obama, or is it Obama?
Obama.
She's 60 today.
Wow.
Muhammad Ali, I know one of your heroes. did he die today or was born today?
I just laughed at the fact how you said Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali. Is that his name?
Ali.
Is that his name? Anyway, I've written down his name and then 1942. Is that when he died or when he was born?
That's when he was born, surely.
Born? That seems too...
In Louisville, Kentucky.
And as I usually do... if it's your birthday today, you would have been conceived around about the April the 26th, and you would be a Capricorn. So that's today in history on the 17th of January.
Well done, Mark.
Thank you very much.
It's probably my favourite really? Feature.
The way he goes about it is going at the end. He finishes like the news report. Yeah. And that is today in history on the 17th of January.
Perfectly. Well, how'd you all enjoy it?
Going back to John Craven and Blue Peter, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, it's been a pleasure, boys.
We can't end a comedy episode.
On a plane crash.
I've got one more joke.
Most episodes end.
I've got one more joke for you.
Oh, okay.
All right,
I've got one more joke for you. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, two people sat on a train.
Yeah.
One's got a pipe, one's got a little dog.
Yeah.
All right, and off it goes. It's trundling along on this, trundling along. And the person leans forward and lights up his pipe. So, woman with dog says, "Excuse me, it's a non-smoking train." Anyway, puffs on his pipe, looks smoke in her face, carries on puffing. She's like, "Excuse me, that's very rude. This is a non-smoking train. Please put your pipe out." Again, doesn't say a word. Puffs on his pipe, blows smoke in her face. She says, look, not being funny, but if you don't put that pipe out soon, I'm going to take it off you and I'm throwing it out this window. The bloke pauses, looks at her, takes a puff on his pipe, blows it in her face, and says, "If you throw this pipe out window, I'm throwing your dog out at window." she felt a bit uneasy about this, and she thought, oh, would he do that? Anyway, train starts slowing down, really slowing down, coming to a signal stop. So she thinks, now's my chance. Grabs the pipe off him, throws it out at window. Within a flash, he takes dog off her, throws dog out at window. So anyway, thought, well, what's going to happen now? I need my dog. So he apologises. He knows he went a bit far. He says, come on, I'll go and help you find your dog. It should be all right. So train stopped. They get off and start walking back up train track. And as they're walking up this train track, they see dog bounding towards them. Thank God it's alive. It gets closer and closer and closer. And guess what it's got in its mouth?
Pipe.
The blue brick.
Oh, absolute
That's an old one, and definitely on that note.
On that note.
Definitely on that note.
See you next week. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.